Now, the field of metrology, or measurement to you or I, is something that requires a great deal of accuracy. And this week, Miracentha Lingam has been out to find out more about this science and the crucial role that lasers play.
This week, I've come along to the National Physical Laboratory in Teddington in Middlesex, which specialises in the science of measurement, that's metrology. And what's interesting is that lasers play a crucial part in the science taking place here. So here to tell me more about that is Jonathan Williams, leader of the Quantum and Electromagnetic Division.
So MPL covers a wide range of measurement for all the physical sciences. What we do is develop specialised techniques to serve a wide range of applications, as you mentioned, all the way through precision manufacturing, through the measurement of time, through measurements for healthcare, so that people get the right treatment when they go in for radiotherapy in hospitals, for example.
And how are lasers used here, then, and how crucial are they to this wide range of science taking place?
The principal things for us with a laser are is it's highly collimated, so it travels in very straight lines. And it also can be constructed to have a very stable frequency or wavelength. And these are two key aspects that allow us to use it in metrology. The travelling in straight lines is important because it means you can use it to measure distance. You can also use it to do measurements at a distance. So, for example, you can use it to scan the atmosphere and measure the amount of pollutants, say, above an oil refinery. So this is a principle like radar, where, of course, radar measures things like aeroplanes using microwaves. The equivalent technique with a laser is called LIDAR, and it has two advantages. It can pinpoint where emissions are coming, say, in the form of hydrocarbons or sulfur dioxide, and it can tell you how much material is there and also exactly where it is in terms of distance and angle. We designed a specific laser van, we call it, or a LIDAR instrument at MPL, and this van drives around the world, in fact, and it can then scan right across an oil refinery from within one place. And it has a very complicated suite of lasers inside that are tuned to the exact atmospheric pollutants that you're looking for.
Now, when describing these things, I'm imagining a constant laser beam being used in order to make all of these measurements. But you can also work with lasers in pulses as well.
That's correct. I mean, a lot of people think of a laser as a continuously operating device. It shines all the time. But you can set them up to make very, very short pulses, where short is 1 million millionth of a second, the picosecond timescale. And this has a wide range of applications in measurement too. In particular, we use these very short pulses to make short electrical pulses, very tiny impulses of electricity. And then these are used to characterise very fast electronics.
And what applications does this pulse format of lasers have?
Well, the biggest application which we all benefit from these days is in communications. A lot of communication now is done over optical fibre, some even into the home. And these systems rely on very short laser pulses to carry the information in a very sophisticated form of Morse code. So what we do in metrology is we have to understand how well these lasers work and what their equivalent bandwidth is and their reliability.
So that's a wide range of applications of the laser here and, well, generally in science. But where can you see, then, the use of lasers being taken next?
So the future sort of science horizon is to use laser light at very low intensity levels, so small, in fact, it breaks up into its smallest components, what we call photons. And the possibility there is you can then send single photons as pieces of information, and you can do communication in a very secure way where you send your message as a series of one or zero photons. And this has great attraction because, in theory, it's an unbreakable system.
When it comes to measurements, a key application of the laser is in length measurement. And with me now to explain more about this is Ben Hughes, who's the principal research scientist in the Dimensional Measurements Group. Ben, something that most of us are probably familiar with is we'll see the surveyor at the side of the road holding some kind of handheld laser device, or the estate agents wandering around properties measuring the sizes of rooms. So how do these actually work, and what are they actually measuring by the use of lasers?
The handheld device that you've mentioned that an estate agent may be using is based on a time of flight measurement. And it's based on the principle that distance equals speed times time. Now, we know the speed of light very accurately, so all we have to do is measure the time it takes for a pulse of light to travel from the device to the wall at the other end of the room and back again. Now, given that the speed of light is very high, 300 million metres per second, it means that, say, a round trip to, say, a wall that's a metre away will take something like 6 nanoseconds. You need some very fast electronics to be able to time that very short time. You have a measurement resolution of something like 50 millimetres. So that's the kind of precision that these devices are operating at.
Now, that's just one application, though, of measuring length. We are here in the Length Lab at NPL, and here you measure things on a much larger scale with a device that we've got here just in front of us, which is a laser tracker, which can measure things as large as aeroplanes.
This laser tracker is sending out a thin pencil beam of laser light. Now, you can think of that laser light as being a ruler. Now, on a conventional ruler, the graduations would be perhaps in millimetre spacing. On this ruler, the graduations are spaced by exactly half the wavelength of the light. Now, on our particular laser, the wavelength is 633 nanometres. That is 0.000633 millimetres. So that means every graduation is half of that, which is 315, 316 nanometres. Now, what we can do with our laser tracker is we can use the laser beam to track a reflecting ball as we move it over our object, and the laser tracker is counting those graduations on the laser beam. So it's getting a very high accuracy measurement of where we're moving our ball.
And now you have this tracking ball, essentially, which is a reflective ball here in front of us, and it's only about an inch and a half in diameter. The actual device where the laser is generated stays still on a desk. The laser hits this ball and then stays, basically, on this ball. So as the ball moves around, it keeps attracting the laser to it.
Yes, and it has effectively a sensor inside the tracking head which can see where the ball is and can steer the laser beam to follow the ball at all times.
Just in front of us there's a metal block, and so if you wanted to accurately measure the height of this, you would just place this reflective ball at the bottom of it, then at the top of it, and then you would know what that distance is.
That's right. At each of those two points, I would measure the coordinates of the ball, and then from the coordinates of those two points, I can work out the height.
So how is it applied to the aviation industry?
Aircraft require some very tight tolerance manufacturing. What you'll see people in the aircraft industry using laser trackers for example, would be for measuring the alignment of hinge units on the trailing edge of aircraft wings, for example, hinge units for the flaps. You might find people crawling all over the wing surface measuring the aerodynamic profile, because that can be quite important, especially close to the aircraft body.
That's quite an interesting image, just seeing someone all over a wing holding this very small ball for accurate measurement.
It's bizarre when you sit and watch somebody doing it, because they appear to be cleaning the wing, whereas in fact they're making very precise measurements.
And what other industries could it be used in, or what are other applications, say, of this method?
Space industry use them, for example, for aligning components on satellites. It's very critical to get the mass distribution correct, to align thrusters through the centre of mass of the spacecraft, so that when they fire it doesn't spin off into into infinity. So any area where you're making big things that require very high accuracy.
That was Ben Hughes, and before that, Jonathan Williams, both from the National Physical Laboratory and speaking to our own Meera Senthilingam.